Welcome to Unraveling, a podcast which has been created to speak openly about the messy truths of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and my intention for this podcast is to express my own real life experiences and that of my guests in a raw and authentic way. It has become a passion of mine to speak honestly and vulnerably about the ups and downs that many of us experience in this roller coaster ride of life. That means huge celebrations and earth-shattering rock bottoms. The reality is we feel and experience it all. Unraveling strips away layers of conditioning, shame, fear, and worry by opening up the conversation to talk about the subjects that are sometimes hidden away. This means you can expect total, open-hearted, truthful discussions about what it really is like to be a human being. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful, but sometimes chaotic, journey of unraveling. Now let's head to the show. Welcome to this episode of Unraveling. I am really excited to bring you today's episode with the beautiful Anna Dunleavy. Anna is an NLP coach who helps women to navigate through their self-limiting beliefs so that they can stop playing small and live a life of alignment. She started her self-employed career as a wedding photographer and quickly spotted the need for a supportive community for creative women in business, which led to the monthly meetups and then her podcast. I met Anna last year on a retreat with Sophie French, where we were kind of diving deep into our creations and our businesses, but in a really beautiful, feminine, aligned way. And I really loved Anna's very calm energy, and I've watched her kind of evolve her business over the last year. And it's really, it's been very inspiring and very motivating to me to see her commit to supporting other women and supporting herself and creating some really beautiful offerings for her community. And I was lucky enough to be on her podcast towards the end of last year, and I really love the way that she is delving deep into intuitive ways of running her business. And she's also a mother, and that really, again, it's another thing that really inspires me, is seeing other mothers creating really aligned businesses with them and kind of going against the norm, against the grain a little bit. And I'm really, yeah, it was a really lovely conversation. We talk about lots of different things, from failing in our businesses to how the kind of evolution of our businesses have unfolded, and also about some of the ways that we both have found alignment in our lives and businesses, and how we continue to delve down into those parts of us that might be potentially holding us back, or that we need to get more curious with in order for us to find that more aligned way of working and living our lives as well. So I hope you enjoy the show. It was a real honour to share it with Anna, and I'm sure you will enjoy it too. Hi, Anna. Welcome to the Unraveling podcast. How are you today?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm good, actually. I'm feeling good today. It's the sun is shining, and I took some time out this morning to do some meditation and journaling. So actually, yeah, I'm feeling good.
Oh, amazing. It's so powerful how those, just those little moments, can really fill you back up.
Yeah. I think I could sense my body was kind of telling me I needed a little bit of a slow morning, and I'm glad I listened.
Yes. Well, the sun is shining here as well, so that makes everything feel so much better. I would love you to start by introducing yourself to the listeners and just letting us know a little bit about your journey from, you know, wherever you started, wherever you'd like to start, just to tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
Sure. So I am a wedding photographer, and I'm also an NLP coach. I've been doing photography for the last 6 years or so. Coaching, I trained to become a coach last year, so it's still relatively kind of new. I'm still finding my feet within that. And before that, I guess I went to university. I worked in a family business, but it was never something that I kind of felt at home with. It was never something that I really enjoyed or felt excited about. And so when kind of photography came into my life, it was this time where I thought, it was a little bit of a light bulb moment, in that I thought, actually, I could perhaps pursue a more creative career, and that's something I could explore. So yes, over the last kind of 6 years or so, I kind of began learning about photography, and yeah, like 2 years ago I took the business full time. I quit my full-time job, and yeah, and kind of the rest is history, really.
Amazing. So I'm really excited to talk to you today, because not only are you an amazing coach and an amazing photographer, and I've had the honor of sharing in-person space with you as we kind of where we met last year at Sophie's retreat, but also because you are a mother as well, and obviously I'm just joining the wild ride of motherhood, and I'd love to know a little bit more about how motherhood has played a role in your work life, in terms of, I know that you began your freelance or your own business around similar time or not long after your son was born. And I'd just love to know how that came about, and how you found the transition to motherhood, not just from a work point of view, but just from a self point of view. I'd really love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So I think I'll kind of backtrack a little bit. I guess growing up and all throughout university, I always thought I would pursue a very, more or less corporate career. I think I had the idea of pursuing something that, doing a graduate scheme and then kind of progressing through there. And so when I, after university, I kind of went into working with my dad. It was a family business. But like I said, it was never kind of something that I enjoyed. And then so when I found out I was pregnant, when my son was born, I kind of began to sense that I needed to follow something that actually made me happy, that I found fulfilling, I think, above all, and a job that I think generally the idea of finding fulfillment in a career feeds into actually how we are as parents, I think, and so yeah, I had this longing of kind of discovering something, and perhaps, yeah, taking a different path. So yeah, so I kind of took photography up about a year after he was born, because I realised that I was just taking photos on my phone, and I had this SLR sitting somewhere on a shelf. And so that really began the journey of actually kind of delving into that creativity that I didn't actually discover until then. I never really considered myself as a creative person until he was born, which is so... It feels crazy, because I actually now believe that everyone is creative in a way. But I think growing up, I was never musical, or I couldn't draw or paint, and so I think that restricted my idea of how I saw creativity, I guess. And so yeah, so that was a bit of a catalyst, I think.
Amazing, and I do like. I totally am on board with the everybody being creative, but it is a case of finding what your version of creativity is, because that, we always think, oh, it's just drawing, painting, but yeah, as you say, photography, it could be writing, it could be in the way you present yourself, it could be in your clothes, it could be in your makeup, it could even be in the way you speak. There's so much untapped creativity in every single person. Do you think that that's really stems from a belief around, do you think that comes from something that we're taught or not taught? Where do you think that kind of, that sense of not being creative comes from?
I think it definitely stems back to, when I was younger, when I was growing up. And I think because I didn't perhaps fit into those molds that were presented to me at the time, like painting or, you know, picking up a musical instrument, because I was told that I couldn't sing. And so those stories, I think, definitely fed into my kind of this belief that actually I wasn't really a creative person. And because I think I naturally I'm quite organized, I enjoyed subjects like maths at school. So almost instantly you kind of fed down this route of more practical subjects perhaps. And it's kind of almost like an either or situation. Whereas I believe that that is not, you know, entirely not true. And then we can have both and we can thrive in both as well.
Amazing. So how did you cultivate your confidence to be creative at the beginning when you'd sort of not really been in that area before?
I think it was just an interest that I thought I'd bought the camera when I was actually 16. So I had it lying around for years and never really learned how to use it. And so I wanted to kind of, just get to grips with it. But I think it was just this interest in something that perhaps I, you know, could get good at. And so I just picked it up and just started playing around. And from there, kind of, it just became this slight obsession, actually. So it's kind of baby steps to begin with, I think, but just trying different things and just exploring and finding my way around. But I think that playfulness at the beginning where it has no, there is no end goal, I think that was really kind of, it gave me that opportunity just to play and explore. So there was no strict or rigid kind of agenda that I was following. So, yeah.
So there's no, like, there was no specific, like, I'm going to do this because I want to be a photographer. It was actually just letting your creativity guide you. And then it happened to take you towards actually making a career in photography.
Yeah, I think once I kind of started learning more and more, and like I said, it became a bit of an obsession. I was kind of, that was all I did in my spare time. At that point, I started thinking, or at least following other photographers and seeing, actually, this is a potential career path. But to begin with, yeah, there was no agenda. There was definitely certainly not me thinking I could make a career out of it. It was just following that kind of intuition, I guess, just to test it out.
That's the kind of the ultimate flow, isn't it? The ultimate sign of being in alignment is like just letting creativity guide you and letting those sort of sparks of curiosity and interest just take you down a path. How did you find the sort of like the courage to say, okay, I was doing this one career, you know, and now I want to change to do another career as a mother, you know, having different responsibilities, having different, I guess, expectations, maybe expectations from others, perhaps. How did you find you navigated that change within yourself?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think it most definitely wasn't overnight. I think it began with that kind of glimmer of hope that actually maybe that is something that I could pursue. But the way I look at it, and I think I'm not saying everyone, you know, should kind of follow that path, but I think trying to find your way in a new career first and seeing how that works and seeing whether actually it's a feasible thing is a good kind of way forward, I think. And so I gave myself, well, to begin with, there was no kind of end goal. I kind of started offering photography sessions and I just kind of, again, it was guiding me and I wanted to kind of see and, you know, what I enjoyed, what I didn't enjoy. And so there was no expectation to begin with in that sense. And I think to begin with, you know, everyone else probably thought it was just a hobby, which, you know, to be fair, it probably was to begin with. And then as things kind of got more and more serious, I think, you know, I would speak to my husband about it and actually share that this was something that, you know, perhaps I would like to explore at some point. And I think I probably wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for his encouragement. He was the first one to encourage me to set up a Facebook page and just, you know, the kind of practical things of actually getting things going. And if it wasn't for his encouragement, I think perhaps I wouldn't have taken those steps. I wouldn't say there were any expectations from anyone else necessarily. But yeah, I think it takes, it takes those slow kind of steps and that courage to actually admit it to yourself, even that actually a change, which, you know, is a big change, isn't it, in a career, is something that you actually would like to do.
And how, so I'm a big, as you know, I'm a big kind of believer in like the sensations and the feelings, like our body guiding us as well. How would you describe your feelings? Because like I'm sort of like I'm in the transition, you know, it's very early days for me compared to, you know, like your little boy's 6 now, isn't he?
He's 7 going on 8.
Okay, 7 going on 8. Okay, so it's been a, you know, slightly different time frame, but just going from like more corporate work, or whether it's like in an office, like going from that maybe more structured way of working to moving into this more creative, I suppose heart-led business, mm-hmm. Or soul-led business path, or life's work. I don't really like to call it necessarily business, because I think it's our life's work, and that sort of allows for more evolution. How would you describe the feelings of being in alignment with that path and out of alignment?
Good question. I think it's a hard one to answer. I think there's kind of a sense of this stillness and peace when you feel in alignment. And I'm very much experiencing that now with the coaching work that I'm doing. Because I think when when you're taking those first steps, you're not quite sure where it's going or how it's going to present itself to you, I guess. But as soon as you get a little bit more clarity, it does bring that sense of just kind of stillness and almost kind of, I don't know, just being in the right place. And yeah, I don't know.
No, I do. I understand what you mean. It's like, and I actually got goosebumps when you first said that, sort of like that stillness and the peace, because that is exactly, like, you just, it's contentment. Just
absolutely.
Feel, it's like taking a big sigh of relief in your body. I mean, for me, like, because I'm really connected in with the sensations in my body, it's like my shoulders relax, my belly feels softer, like everything is like a big deep breath, and it's like, oh, I'm here, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, not to say though, I think that there aren't going to be moments where things get a little bit tricky, or, you know, you again trying new things and not everything is going to work and feel aligned. But I guess it's until you try those things that you can then almost put your feelers out and then understand how that sits with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I really agree with that. And we were talking just before the episode started about kind of trying things and them not working in our business, because that's not really something that people talk about very often. But especially for me, over the last few years, I have tried many, I've had lots of things I wanted to try, and I've tried things and I would never use the word failure, because I don't really believe that things fail. I believe you just learn lessons from things. And sometimes the lessons are not the lesson you really want to necessarily learn. And I mean, generally it's when we attach to a certain outcome that we then feel like that's, society makes us feel like maybe that's a failure, but actually, you know, it's just a reroute. But how do you deal with, you know, when you're putting things out there, or you're trying new things in a business, or in your, you know, it doesn't have to be in a business sense, but when you're trying new things, like, how do you navigate that the courage to try something, and then actually, you know, when things don't go as you expected them to go, how do you then deal with that and the reroute?
It's such a tough one, because I think for a long time the photography side of things wasn't going kind of as well as I had hoped. I began with family photography, and actually it wasn't until I kind of made more of a push towards weddings that actually things started to kind of shift and slot into place almost. So I guess it's about having that persistence a little bit as well, and not giving up perhaps too easily when things get a little bit tough and perhaps don't feel quite right. But it's about persisting to kind of find, you know, different ways and new ways in which we can kind of perhaps do things that actually feel more aligned and feel more in flow, I guess. And that's something that I've been kind of playing around with, and certain projects, particularly last year, kind of didn't feel quite 100% aligned. But I think I had these, like you say, these kind of predetermined outcomes and these ideas that I was chasing. And I think I felt disappointed at times that things didn't kind of work as well. But when I actually did the work and actually kind of did a little bit more of a deep dive into why it didn't work, it actually came down to me kind of learning that actually I didn't necessarily want to sell my services in this way. And so I guess it's a little bit of an elimination process, really, in a way. And like I kind of said earlier, it is about testing and trying different things and then clarifying and just steering in the direction that you then want to go towards.
Yeah, and I think as you just said, that it's sometimes about elimination. So many times, you know, when I used to work in my agency, it would be like you wouldn't necessarily get a specific brief for something, and then you'd show the client something and they'd be like, oh no, that's not what I want. But they didn't know what they did want until they saw what they had they didn't want, if that makes sense. I think I said that right. So it's sometimes a case of actually you have to try it to know that you don't it's not aligned, or it's not necessarily the right thing, but you almost have to have gone through the process to know, because otherwise it's like it's always there. It's like constantly like, should I have done that, or I never did that. I think by testing it, trying it, seeing what happens, it leads you somewhere, even if it's not where you expected to end up.
Yeah, I think you're so right. I think there's always going to be this idea is always going to be there if you don't actually take action. But equally, I think sometimes we do need to dig a little bit deeper, perhaps. And kind of, I've been over the past year or so, I've been really trying to kind of tap into kind of my intuition and really dig a little bit deeper to really find what kind of feels good and what does feel in flow. And I think that, again, it's not necessarily always about trying different things, but also doing the work to kind of uncover what, and also I think being willing to admit to yourself that perhaps this is the way that you want to work. And sometimes we follow these various, you know, societal kind of rules, I guess, of how things should look. And we let that guide us before checking in with ourselves. So, but it's a hard process, and I'm still very much within it. And obviously it's an ongoing thing anyway, but yeah, I think checking in with yourself as well is a kind of powerful way to navigate that.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel so deeply at the moment, and especially having had Sophia, and she is such a catalyst. I keep saying she's basically like my business advisor, because she's guiding me in ways I could never have imagined in my work. You know, I mean, obviously she's not sitting there telling me what to do, but her presence and her, like, the impact she's had on my life is guiding me in so many ways into my, like, the next phase, the next evolution of my work, which I just, it kind of bowls me over. But I've just got this sense that there's, and it's been sort of bubbling under for a while, I guess the last few years really, but this sense that there is, that we have to start changing the way that we do business and the way that we do our work, particularly in when we're in, you know, running our own business. And but I think also if you're employed as well, if you're working in a company or in a corporate world, like there has to be a way of finding a balance between energizing and keeping people healthy and well and balanced and in their flow and in their creative flow. And obviously, you know, I suppose financial abundance and the, you know, being able to keep up with responsibilities and, you know, living in a, you know, we live in a fairly materialistic world. And I mean, I love new clothes and nice things in my house just as much as anybody. So I feel like there's a big calling to change the way, maybe particularly as women, we're doing business. Do you have a like similar sense?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one because I think there is such a big difference from how I see bigger companies operating to how I want to approach my business. And it goes back to kind of the photography business as well. I never really wanted to just, you know, get as many weddings in as possible, just to make as much money as possible and then figure out the rest later kind of thing. It was always about kind of providing a bit of an experience for people and also being there for them if they needed my guidance or help and being available. I'm definitely drawn towards, I'm definitely drawn towards working with your intuition a lot more. And I know that that's obviously something that you do in your own work. But it's hard because I don't think people appreciate those things just yet. I feel like they're the kind of soft skills that people don't necessarily, people look at the practical side of things, the marketing, the strategy, the, you know, the kind of the things that you can quantify. Whereas it's actually more of that inner work that actually should be guiding the way we then conduct our business.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I think I talk about like our feminine superpowers and intuition is one of those. It's like, when we, and it takes, you know, quite a lot of deep work to actually come to be in relationship with that intuition, to really allow the intuition to guide us. But I agree. I don't think things like that are being appreciated or made the most of because, you know, we all know that gut feeling. We all know that, like, that sensation when something's really off or something's really right. We all know it underneath the layers, but unfortunately, so many of us have been taught not to trust that. You know, we've been taught to trust the practical things, you know, the skills, the, you know, and obviously that's all very important as well in certain areas. But when it comes to living your life and running your own business, like, intuition is your most powerful tool. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's so underrated.
Yeah.
How do you keep cultivating that? How have you come into deeper relationship with that intuitive guidance?
It's definitely been a process. The retreat we went on last year, I think, definitely kicked things off, and I needed to do a bit of deeper work with a therapist to begin with, to kind of clear out some of the old stuff that I was holding on to. And from there, I think I just really kind of took the time to tune in a little bit. So I do that through journaling, and that's been a huge, it's been hugely helpful for me to just write things out, and you kind of have those light bulb moments sometimes of clarity, and journaling's been one way of achieving that. And meditation as well. And I'm in, you know, by no means an expert at either of those things, but they've been tools to just help me to not only be kind of present in the moment a little bit more, but also just kind of noticing how I feel, how I feel in my body. And also I think allowing myself to feel certain things that perhaps, you know, on the more conscious, in the more conscious way, I perhaps wouldn't want to feel or wouldn't expect to feel. So following this path of coaching and this more kind of intuitive led kind of way of working hasn't come easily, because I think because of my background it's been very, very practical, very kind of structured in that sense. So it's certainly not been an easy kind of path. But something that I'm kind of, yeah, really pulled towards, but it's I'm still finding my way with putting that out there into the world, if that makes sense, and actually letting that voice be heard.
Yeah, kind of coming out the closet with it.
A little bit, yeah. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not something we're taught. We're not taught to cultivate our intuition. We're taught to learn things out of a book, and that's the right way. You know, you're not, when at school are you, you know, do we have a lesson on what our instincts are and how to follow them? Mm-mm. We don't.
We don't. And also, I think for the most part, we are surrounded by people, whether it's family or friends, who don't also understand it. And so you find yourself slightly isolated in a sense. And so the natural instinct, I think, is to follow the, you know, the group, the herd, and try and fit in. So it's not an easy path to take in a way, but it is fulfilling, and it allows you to see things in a different way.
So you say that journaling and meditation is important for you to connect in with that intuition and to stay sort of in alignment. How do you juggle that with being a mum? How do you get that into your day? I mean, I know it's different probably because your son's a little bit older now, but, you know, how have you found ways over as he's grown up and now to still connect to you in those moments?
Yeah. Well, exercise has also been one of those things, and one of the things that I remember I used to do when he was, I think, maybe 2 or 3, was wake up early. And I know that doesn't sound too attractive when you're not sleeping too well. But by the time he was 2 or 3, I think, you know, he was sleeping okay or well enough for me to be able to wake up earlier before he did, to give myself that space and time. It looks very different now because he's at school. So the morning's usually spent kind of getting ready. But once he's at school, I'm then able to come home. And obviously the flexibility of the job that I do now allows me that time to do a bit of journaling or meditation. And I've tried to create a bit of a habit of kind of spending 10 to 15 minutes to meditate each morning before I start my work day. And that feels like a huge kind of privilege in a way, to have that time. And it will be tested when my wedding season kicks off a little bit later on in the year, and whether I can keep that up. Because I think it's very easy to fall into the kind of, I don't have time for this, I've got stuff to do, and pushing it back to, you know, to the end of the list. And I think by making space for it, I've been able to kind of, I think I've just been able to stay a lot more level-headed in general when it comes to my work. And it's had huge benefits. But I appreciate that when you've got a young little, you know, baby at home, it's not necessarily easy.
It's not easy, but it's not impossible. And I know that some people might find that a bit like jarring, but I have, I do morning pages, and I've started that since Sophia was born. And I do it before she, I also do that before she is kind of up, if that makes sense. Like, and I know that not everybody gets into any kind of routine, but she generally, like I, she can generally wakes up at about seven-ish. So because my husband goes to work really early, I tend to wake up pretty early. So I just prioritize that 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes over scrolling on my phone, over, you know, doing a few other things, to do that, because I know that it's really important for me. And it might be the only time of the day that I get those moments. And I, to me, that's really precious. So I prioritize it because I know it's really important for me. And I didn't prioritize it before, weirdly. Mm-hmm. I think when I had more time, I didn't appreciate that. And I just would be like, ah, yeah, maybe not bother today. Mm-hmm. But now it's become like really important to me.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that, but I think when you first have a kid, you realize how little time there is actually to do things that you perhaps enjoy or you know are kind of important to you or good for you. And so you quickly become, you quickly kind of realize that you need to prioritize things and you need to make space for them if you want them in your life, essentially. Mm. And so it's about carving out time, but also being realistic with the amount of time that you might have. But I think it is about choice a lot of the time. And I know it sounds, you know, it's hard, and not to say that every day is going to be the same, but on the days where, you know, things are going relatively smoothly, it is about that choice of just taking that, those 10 minutes. It could even, you know, certain things could even be done when you're feeding, or, you know, so yeah. There are definitely pockets of time that you can find, but it's just about that choice of actually making it happen.
I agree. And I think that it there's a huge, obviously, transition in when you do become a mother to, you know, let the parts of you that were there before sort of, you know, let them go. And I don't mean that in as like you know, letting yourself go. I mean that as in actually letting that part of you go, but then recreating yourself in as the version of the person you want to be. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity that I've had. I felt like the first few weeks particularly was like the grimy, murky, like, I'm not going to lie, it wasn't particularly comfortable physically and emotionally. But it was like kind of like the death of the old me. And I had to had to be in that discomfort in order for me to create this almost blank canvas to see, okay, what is a priority to me now? And what is important to me? What choices do I want to make? And actually, how do I want to live my life? And it's very different to how I was living my life. Mm-hmm. Although on the surface, probably not, doesn't look that different, but it feels completely different.
Yeah. What kind of, when you were talking, it reminded me of this kind of idea that actually, as you know, mothers, as parents, we fall into this kind of trap, I would almost say, of always caring for others and always putting everyone else ahead of you. And I think I've always had that tendency. And so I think certainly when Rory was born, I think that was definitely something that I did. And it's only in the recent, you know, 2, maybe 3 years where I began to actually think, actually, I need to carve that space for myself. And in doing so, and in doing that and having that time for myself, I know I'm a better mother as a result.
Yeah.
I'm able to be there for him in a different way, I think. And I'm a lot more present when I am with him. Which sounds kind of almost counterintuitive in the sense that, you know, you're taking that time away from being with him perhaps, but actually, yeah, carving that time just for ourselves, it kind of has to become a priority at some point.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I had this, you know, like I was told by lots of people in like before I had Sophia that, you know, I wasn't going to get the time to do these things. I wasn't going to have time to have a shower. I wasn't going to have time to brush my teeth and things like that. And I was like, before I had Sophia, I was like, you know, is that really true? And it could have been true if I had made those choices, but I'm not saying I have nailed it in any shape or form. I'm learning every single day. And sometimes I feel almost a bit guilty about the fact that maybe I do spend time for me because it is really important for me. And I'm making sure that that happens right from the get-go because I don't want to fall into the place where I'm not a priority because I know that, you know, I can see it when I go and teach a yoga class once a week. And I know for some people it might be way too soon to go back to teaching. And that's fine. Like everyone's journey is different. But for me, I go, I teach that class. It's a Wednesday evening. It's an hour. I'm probably away from home for maybe an hour and a half. It energizes me so much. It fills me up. Having that time just to be me, not to be mummy, to just go and be in flow, to do something different. I come home and I'm excited to be with her. And then, you know, the next day I have like a lovely day with her. I can be really, as you say, really present with her because I'm not exhausted. I am pretty tired, but I'm not like emotionally exhausted, if that makes sense, because I've had time to be me and then I can come back to be mum. That makes sense.
Yeah,
a rambly way of saying it, but
I know it makes total sense, and it kind of reminds me again of actually me discovering this creativity. And I think looking back, it was probably a way for me to carve out that time for myself that perhaps I didn't even know I needed, you know, at the time. But it was just something that I could do, and then obviously taking it from a hobby into a business, it meant that I was carving out a lot of time to work on something that I, you know, absolutely loved. And in a way, I think, you know, it felt I didn't feel guilty, but you know, but I think it felt quite self-indulgent in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, why the hell not?
Exactly. I am definitely a big believer in helping people to see that there is another way.
Yeah.
We don't have to conform. We don't have to do the things. And some people really want that, and that's absolutely fine. But there's people, and probably the majority of people that listen to this podcast are people that are, you know, there's something, there's a curiosity, there's, you know, like there's something more that they feel they're drawn to, but maybe they haven't found that out yet. And that's, you know, the journey in itself. But I'd love to talk a bit more about your evolution in your business, because obviously you started as a wedding photographer and you're still doing that, but you are also a coach, and the two don't necessarily, like, you don't normally associate them together. And I have, you know, I have multiple passions, as you know, but I'd love to hear how that came about. And now, you know, what kind of coaching you're doing, what drew you to that? What it is that really sparks your passion in that area as well, and how you juggle the two as well.
Well, at the moment it's the slow season for weddings, so I'm kind of pouring a lot of my time into the coaching side of things, and that's quite, you know, nicely balanced. But I'm aware that the scales will tip probably towards the summer. I think I first started kind of toying with the idea of exploring coaching, I'd probably say maybe around 2 to 3 years ago. And I think when I first started the photography business, and because I'd built it up having, you know, having another job alongside of it, so I was always working on two separate things. And I think I quickly realized that actually doing just one job wasn't going to be fulfilling enough. And again, even saying that at the time felt a little bit, it felt hard to admit that I wasn't actually completely fulfilled by just this one job that I'd been working so hard towards as well.
You're a multi-potentialite.
Well, this is it. I think, again, it goes back to what we're taught, is that, you know, you have one career, you specialize in one thing. And so for a long time, I kind of thought, well, what am I doing trying to do various different things? And it, you know, it was very out of the ordinary, at least from what, you know, from my own kind of experiences of what I saw was possible. But yeah, I think I kind of began kind of just, yeah, I was interested in exploring it a little bit more as a subject. I think the coaching kind of came about, like I said, because I felt like I needed an additional thing to get my kind of, just to keep the creativity going as well. But as soon as I kind of started delving into it and I had experienced coaching myself and how actually powerful that was, I kind of just, yeah, began to get that kind of pull towards it, and I wanted to kind of explore it more. I think when I first took the photography business full time as well, I kind of realized that actually working for yourself was really, felt quite lonely, and it's quite, you know, it can be quite an isolating experience, especially if you've been working in a, you know, perhaps big company or in an office, and all of a sudden you're kind of working from home. And so I began organizing monthly meetups for creative women in Nottingham, and that kind of led then to the podcast starting, and I think that was the beginning of me exploring kind of that realm of business support, I guess. But at the time, I think I was clinging on to the more kind of, again, practical side of things, and the, you know, the more kind of a mentoring side of things. And it wasn't until I started the coaching qualification that I realized that actually there is so much that goes into coaching that I perhaps didn't quite understand. And I think the power of actually giving people that space and this opportunity to kind of delve into themselves to discover, you know, how they want to run their business or where they want to go or how they want to do things is so powerful. And I think having come from that more of an advice giving role, shifting into the coaching and actually just holding that space, I think I kind of really understood then the power of that. And it's been a kind of a journey ever since to kind of, and again, it goes back to kind of all the different projects that I've tried ever since, and yeah, experimenting and exploring different ways in which I can deliver that. But what I've come to realize is that I really want to work with women who perhaps are holding themselves back in a way, and helping them to overcome that. So working through those self-limiting beliefs that perhaps we, you know, sometimes don't even know are there to begin with, but we know we just keep getting stuck. And so, yeah, that's kind of really what I'm kind of interested in, as well as this kind of idea of introducing kind of getting in tune with your intuition and mindfulness and meditation and all of that, all of those things that I'm kind of currently exploring.
I love that. And that holding space for people to like really not hold themselves back and go for it is just so needed. It's so needed. What do you think, is there a common belief or mindset that you keep kind of coming up against with your clients and with other people that you feel is a big block and a big is holding a lot of people back? Is there something that's kind of consistent that comes up?
Well, something that has been coming up recently, and actually, you know, reflecting back, it's definitely something that's been holding me back in many ways, is this fear of judgment and the fear of what others might actually think, particularly in the creative industry, in the creative kind of careers. I think, you know, they might be perceived, or at least we may think they are perceived as these kind of more wishy-washy kind of careers. It's not the kind of standard, you know, career that perhaps our parents had in mind for us. And so I think it's that fear of, fear of what others might think and how they might perceive us, that actually often kind of holds us back from stepping into that true self, I guess, and actually being like, yeah, this is it, and this is what I'm doing, and owning that as well.
And you know, without giving away your whole coaching, you know, technique, how do you help people work with and through that judgment, fear of judgment?
I think as we kind of begin to talk, it's often you kind of are able to start picking up the common threads of, you know, perhaps the things that were said, and the, you know, the experiences that they've had or they picked up on as, you know, perhaps younger kids, or, you know, and that they're still holding on to. And it's so interesting how sometimes throwaway comments can be so kind of powerful for us, and we hold on to for so many years into kind of our adult life. And so I think the first step is very much kind of becoming really aware of how these things are interconnected and how they actually kind of then affect our behavior. Because once you start bringing that awareness, you actually realize that, you know, it's had a knock-on effect, and it's had, you know, an impact on how you perhaps show up and the way you behave and the way you think.
Yes, amazing. And you use NLP predominantly, don't you, with your coaching?
That's right, yeah.
Can you just explain a little bit more to anybody that doesn't know what NLP is and how, like, why you feel that is, you know, such an amazing tool?
Yeah, it's it stands for neuro-linguistic programming, and it's a way of tapping into the kind of more subconscious mind. So it works very much with our kind of our five senses, and it's more about, you know, those kind of feelings, as opposed to perhaps working with thoughts. So it kind of comes back to the more, it's a way of unlocking that kind of subconscious beliefs that perhaps we wouldn't normally have access to. It's definitely a kind of a really interesting approach, but I'm kind of playing with the ideas of how I can intertwine that with perhaps mindfulness and meditation, to give people that kind of space to reflect as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that space is really important in the work, right? It's all very well us kind of talking things through and doing our sessions, but if we don't create the space for our own growth in between times, then you just don't get as much out of it.
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely been my personal experience with it. Not to say that it will work for everyone, and of course, you know, we each have to find our own ways of doing that. And it, for some, it might be painting or doing something else creative, or it might be sitting still, it might be going for a run. It doesn't necessarily have to be rigid and kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, whatever way you embody that new way of being is, you know, it's irrelevant really, isn't it? I think I love that, you know, you really highlight the awareness and then looking at the behaviors. And that's where, you know, that's where, going back to what we were talking about making time for yourself, whether you're a mother, whether you're not a mother, you know, so many people are just like, I don't have time. I don't have time to meditate, or I don't have time to journal, or I don't have time to do something that is really powerful for their own growth. It's actually, you know, and I try and lovingly call this out, you know, with my clients, because ultimately that's why we're here as coaches, is to kind of lovingly call people out on their stuff. You know, it's becoming aware that actually, okay, I'm not making time for this. And why might I not be making time for this? Is time really the reason, or is it actually because I don't feel worthy enough of carving out that time, or I'm fearing what people are going to think if I carve out that time. So it's like, I love getting to those deeper layers, and that's the beauty of coaching, right? Is to be able to hold space and be a mirror to show people what they, where they could potentially be, you know, not necessarily creating or choosing things that are helping their growth.
Yeah, and the avenues that they could explore to kind of to do that, to make those changes that they would like to make. But it's not easy. It's not easy. It brings up a lot of kind of, you know, baggage that perhaps we don't always want to explore or are not ready to explore. So yeah, it's definitely, it is transformative, I think, but you have to be open to it.
Yeah, and we as humans will always choose the path of least resistance. So it's not to say that, you know, it's not a criticism if somebody isn't doing that. It's actually, you know, it's our human nature to go down that path because it's more comfortable. Like, why would we want to do something different when it could cause discomfort and it might be hard? Yeah, obviously we're going to choose that. I do it, you know, I have to work on this very much myself all the time, but it is the awareness that you're doing it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you. I'd love to ask you one last question, and that is, what is the current messy truth that you are unraveling? Current messy truth. There might be more, I don't know.
I think I kind of touched on it earlier, and it's acknowledging to myself that I am pulled in the direction of, you know, working with your intuition and exploring all of those topics that perhaps maybe even 3 years ago would have felt completely insane to me. And I wouldn't have even been interested because I was kind of completely unexposed to it. So, it's admitting that, you know, that this is something that I really want to explore, and finding ways in which I can communicate that with others. I think that's been the kind of messy part of it all, is finding my voice within it.
And you've just done it now on the show. So it's like, there's no going back now.
No going back.
You've come out of the closet and now it's, you know, the intuition, you're like, yeah, that sense of magic, that sense of connecting to that is well and truly out.
It is. There's no hiding it now, I guess.
Thank you for sharing that. I would just love to give anybody the opportunity to connect with you if they would like to learn more. So can you just share where people can find you, where they can follow you, how they can work with you?
Yeah, so I think the first point of call would be my Instagram account, which is kind of where I usually hang out, and that's over at @Anna_Dunleavy. And you can also tune into my podcast, which is Fearless Hustle Collective, and that is currently in its fourth season. So yeah, these are probably the best two ways of connecting.
And how do you?
So I'm currently offering kind of a 3-monthly coaching, which is more of a deep dive, but also just one-off coaching calls. If you want a bit of a kickstart, a little bit of a, you know, just a little bit of clarity when you're feeling really stuck.
Amazing.
It's a nice way to kick things off.
Amazing. And I'll put all your links in the show notes.
Perfect.
So
thank
that people
you so
can
much.
Come and find you.
Thank you so thank much you. For having me.
Oh, thank you so much for coming and sharing all your nuggets of wisdom. It's been really lovely to kind of go down different rabbit holes with you. I really appreciate your honesty and your version of what it's been like to find your feet in your own business. And I, you know, who knows if we were to have a conversation in a few years' time, who knows where it would have gone, but that's the beauty of unraveling and evolving. So yes, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I am so grateful that you chose to listen to this episode of Unraveling today. If you enjoyed this conversation and want to make sure you never ever miss an episode, then please subscribe on your favourite podcast platform. And if you want to get in touch with me, then the best place to do so is on Instagram at laurenbarber.co or through my website, www.laurenbarber.co. And if you haven't already, make sure you sign up to my emails, which also gives you access to a free library of meditations, workbooks, yoga nidra practices, and other tools of transformation. Until next time, keep trusting the beautifully chaotic process of unraveling.